Farm groups are disappointed with the U.S. Supreme Court for not taking up a case on glyphosate. And what was the point of these WOTUS roundtables? This is Hoosier Ag Today's podcast for Monday, June 27th, 2022. I'm CJ Miller. Today's podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for over 135 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to find out more. Well, the EPA is considering making changes to the Waters of the U.S. Rule, or WOTUS for short. But Eric Pfeiffer reports how discussions from 10 different roundtables held on possible changes are no longer being considered. Major farm groups are upset by the Supreme Court's decision last week not to hear a case that could have far-reaching implications for producers' use of the key herbicide glyphosate. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's farm forecast is coming up. Also, a preview of the grain and livestock markets for the week ahead from Bob Utterback with Utterback Marketing Services. And Baxter Black, the cowboy poet whose commentaries were heard on NPR and seen on RFD-TV, died earlier this month at the age of 77. Hoosier Ag Today's Gary Truitt looks back on the legacy of Baxter Black and his impact on agriculture. That's all coming your way next in the Monday edition of the Hat Podcast.
The land of the free is also the home of the hardworking. What if this is the year you take your farm operation to the next level? At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we're proud to serve the people who not only work until the sun goes down, but until the job is done. With over 135 years of commitment to agriculture, we'll find the solution that's right for your operation today and tomorrow. Visit ffbt.com to learn more. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
What's the point of these WOTUS roundtables? And farm groups are disappointed that the Supreme Court won't hear a case on glyphosate. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today. The Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers concluded a series of roundtables last week, gathering stakeholder thoughts on changing the waters of the U.S. rule. Courtney Briggs, Farm Bureau Senior Director of Government Affairs, says the goal of these events was to find regional differences. But after going through 10 of these roundtable discussions, Briggs says they won't even be considered in the rulemaking process.
There's been some roundtables that have been very well balanced and have brought different perspectives to the table to talk about regional differences, but there certainly have been some that have been very one-sided. And those have been concerning because they have failed to bring to the table mainstream agricultural representatives. But one of the biggest concerns is the agencies have stated that they are not going to use these roundtables as part of the regulatory process, and it really begs the question, what is the point of these roundtables?
Briggs says the rulemaking process continues, but the Supreme Court will weigh in soon.
We expect that the agencies will release a finalized rule at some point this calendar year, but all attention is now turning to the Supreme Court. They have announced that they will hear oral arguments in Sackett versus the EPA on October 3rd. So that will be the first case that they will hear next session. And that case has the potential to provide a lot of clarity and certainty for the regulated community.
There's more information regarding the WOTUS rule at fb.org. You can find a link at HoosierAgToday.com.
Planting a seed is an act of faith. And even if it makes it to maturity, Mother Nature and markets determine the value, right? Not when you've got your corn and soybean checkoffs. The checkoff is like a little seed coat of protection. It's like planting a penny to grow a dollar. In fact, with investments in research, new uses, and demand creation, we've seen a $12 return to the farm for every soybean checkoff dollar invested. Check out your Indiana checkoffs at yourcheckoff.org.
Major farm groups are disappointed by the Supreme Court's decision last week not to hear a case that could have far-reaching implications for producers' use of glyphosate. The Supreme Court's refusal to hear the case, Monsanto versus Hardeman, comes amid the war-driven threat of a global food crisis, sky-high food inflation, and persistent weather problems. Alan Meadows is an American Soybean Association state director in Tennessee.
There's so much on the line right now with everything going on. you know, the last thing we need is a lot of unscientific patchwork, you know, basically on state pesticide labels that would threaten, you know, our ability to be able to use glyphosate. It's such an important chemistry for us.
The American Soybean Association was joined in its statement of disappointment by the American Farm Bureau, National Corn Growers Association, National Association of Wheat Growers, and the National Cotton Council. Meadows was asked, what's next?
You go back to work and start trying to figure out what we can do from a policy end to try to get this addressed and get it fixed and, you know, hopefully make it better for our growers, for sure.
Meadows insists there's a real possibility some states will require more precautions on their labels, despite years of research that glyphosate is safe. 54 farm groups urged President Biden in a May letter to withdraw his Solicitor General's brief to the High Court, asking it to not take up the case. The brief claimed federal rules don't preclude states from imposing added labeling requirements, even if they run counter to federal findings. What the groups call a, quote, disturbing departure from previous bipartisan administrative policy. And a report from Iowa State University says fertilizer prices are 4 times higher than they were in 2020, but it's not because of price gouging. While crop prices have doubled during the same period, higher fertilizer prices are contributing to rising costs in farm production. Iowa's Attorney General requested the ISU report in February while questioning the justification of higher prices. You can read more on this at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're looking at a dry and sunny Monday after a little bit more cloud cover held on over the Hoosier State yesterday. Moisture, there was some around, but not everybody got it, and we're now going to be moving through a week that is mostly dry. Sunny, warm, and dry for today and tomorrow. Wednesday, there's a minor front that tries to pass by to our north. Michigan gets some rain, but Indiana, Ohio, Illinois does not. Thursday, dry as well. Going into Friday, minor surface trough coming through. I won't rule out a few spits or sprinkles, but it looks like we're limited to a few hundredths to a quarter of an inch. Most of the chances are going to be in southern Indiana late Friday. And then we go into the weekend. Saturday, sun followed by increasing clouds. Showers are going to be in central and southern Indiana. Sunday, we see hit and miss scattered showers. Once again, southern two-thirds of the state from U.S. 24 southward. Independence Day on Monday the 4th, central and southern Indiana can see moisture again. So the 3-day total in areas from I-70 south can be anywhere from a tenth to probably 3/4 of an inch. I-70 north, nothing to maybe 3 to 4 tenths maximum. And I think the northern third of the state could make it through the holiday weekend with nothing. Tuesday the 5th, hit and miss scattered showers, more central and north, 1/4 of an inch or less. And then we go into Wednesday the 6th with moisture staying farther south, Kentucky and Tennessee. So this is a scenario that has some moisture for parts of the state. It's going to be the story of the haves and the have-nots. Unfortunately, right now, it looks like the have-nots may be in northern Indiana. So that could be a developing story as we go forward. Precipitation is one thing. What about temperatures? That's the other thing. It looks like we're normal to above normal for a large part of this week, but not oppressively hot. Heat does build in as we go into the start of the holiday weekend. Friday the 1st, Saturday the 2nd, we're looking at very warm air, but we start to see those temperatures pull back a little bit as we hit the 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
On the HAT Morning Podcast, this is As I See It with Hoosier Ag Today's Gary Truitt. Warning, what you're about to hear may be edgy and not suitable for the kids.
A bridge in Yellowstone National Park, a national historic landmark built in 1918, was recently washed away as floodwaters raced down the Yellowstone River. Farther south in Benson, Arizona, dementia, blood cancer, and time took down another bridge. The death of Baxter Black, internationally known cowboy poet, author, and large animal vet, has deprived agriculture of one of the most effective bridges to the non-farm public we've ever had. Baxter could reach people using humor and common sense insights and get them to understand and appreciate farming, ranching, and rural and western culture. His books, newspaper columns, long-running NPR radio show, and personal appearances stood out from the general noise of our world with a different perspective and commentary on everything from presidential politics to livestock testicles. He was a master wordsmith, both poignant and poetic. He found the human in both farm and city life without poking fun or belittling either. He connected producers and consumers at a level far above petty squabbles over GMOs and organic food. His firsthand science-based knowledge of animal husbandry allowed him to expose and discredit the empty claims of the radical animal rights movement. Always sporting his bigger-than-life mustache and cowboy hat, he was a kind, warm, and genuine individual, rare in the entertainment industry these days. I had the chance to interview Baxter many times and was honored to call him a friend. Agriculture will miss Baxter Black, but I hope his works will continue to provide a bridge of understanding between two groups who need to understand each other a whole lot better. I also hope his example will inspire a new generation of bridge builders who will find new ways to bring both rural and city folks closer together. That's how I see it. I'm Gary Truitt.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we know that a little extra can do a whole lot for our customers. That's why we're returning $63 million in patronage straight back to our eligible customers in Indiana this year. Does your lender do that? To learn more about our patronage program and eligibility, visit e-farmcredit.com/patronage. Patronage is a decision the Board of Directors considers and makes every year. It is not a guaranteed payment, but rather a return of our earnings paid to patronage-eligible customers of Farm Credit Mid-America, according to Board Resolution.
Corn and soybeans bounce back a little on Friday. This is Hoosier Ag Today in the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Numbers on the way, as is Market Analysis with Bob Utterback. This update is brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. Know the price of your corn and soybean seed before you buy it with Seed Genetics Direct. Sign up to get a seed guide in July with a price list at seedgeneticsdirect.com. Towards the end of trade, as we ended an up and down, but mostly down week, I checked in for Market Analysis with Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. Bob, the markets closed the week on a positive note, but really when you look at the week, and it was a holiday shortened week, the Friday gains really don't amount to much. We lost a lot of ground through the week.
Well, you know, this week really kind of made the, you know, going in last Thursday and Friday, the market was pretty optimistic, thinking the dry weather would come in, we'd rally out of this. But all of a sudden, I think the bulls came back and said, hey, this economy is looking weak. And it was just like everybody decided, I don't want to be long. This week, we had a break in the corn market from the high over $1.05. We had a $1.86 break in beans. And so for 100,000 bushel corn, farmers' equity changed $100,000 this week just in corn, not including beans. So this was a pretty significant. And this is what the effect is going to be anybody that's holding on corn and beans now. It's been shook a little. And this will, you know, if the market bounces a little, that'll release that inventory, which makes July and August really exciting on the basis. Wheat, off its high of 1284, which has been a while back, is now down $3.57. So wheat is now starting to have the true harvest pressure coming in. But the question for corn and beans is it high end? Is it over with? And as Mark Twain said when they announced the obituary about his death, he says, the announcement of my death is maybe premature. And so I think it's the bear got a little too excited this week. He's had his run, needs to take a break. And that June 30th report, acres report, and the 4th of July, I think is going to be a very volatile time period. And that's when I think sellers of corn and then haven't got sold. And new sellers need to get caught up if there's any dry weather forecast in the model.
Volatility, and of course we've been seeing that. It's just, in your estimation, not going to go away, which is, of course, nothing new.
Nothing new, and I think that's going to be the wave of the future for quite a while until the supply system gets back in line. I still continue that farmers should be selling his crop here in the seasonal time period between now and mid-July, and then buying some type of call insurance to protect his 23 sales sometime during the middle of harvest, September, October, and have a get-out-jail-free card. Because my phone has been ringing consistently all week long. What do I do now? The high's in, but I don't want to sell because we're off the high. And unless you have some way to help take that emotional pressure off, that's where the call helps or creates a synthetic put. You sell the cash, be long call. I think it's the simplest device for most farmers, but it's going to cost you money. Nothing's free. And, you know, that's a risk reward. You know, as I say, farmers this week lost over $100,000 per 100,000 bushel corn. That's a significant financial hit in these times of high input costs and looking forward. So, and then the hogs and cattle really haven't had that turbulent week, but they had some volatility to them. And we got a cattle and feed report today, which should have replacements. And so I don't think the cattle can go anyplace, but the hogs has been the one that's really been rallying. And I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the summer we get back to 120. We're in the 110 range right now. We've got to get below 105. So long-term, I'm very positive for cattle, but we got to still get through this. I think you had a lot of cattle got placed because of the high, the poor pasture conditions. And we will start reflecting lighter numbers once we get into the October, November time period.
Bob Utterback at Utterback Marketing Services. Get Bob at 800-832-1488. Settlements now. We did pick up double digits in corn and beans. A few of the contracts anyway. July corn, 750 and a quarter, goes up 3.5 cents. But September, 682 and three quarters, up 16 points. December, up 18 and a half at 674. Beans trailed all day long, then picked up a little additional steam late in trade. July beans, 16.10 and three quarters, up 17 and a half. August up 13 and a half, 15.20 and three quarters. November contract, 14.24 and a quarter, 8.75 higher. Chicago wheat down all day. July goes to 9.23 and three quarters, 13 and a half cents lower. Mixed in livestock, June live cattle up a dime. August down 50 cents at 133.37. And July lean hogs, 110.92, up 237. There's a look back at the Friday markets, and that wraps up the Hoosier Ag Today Monday morning podcast, brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. I'm Andy Eubank for Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, Ryan Martin, our chief meteorologist. This is Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.